Welcome back to Foreman and Wolf on Food and Wine. Cindy, in the last segment.
I missed the scallops.
Did you leave? Yeah. You...
Well, we ran out of time, so I'm like, oh my gosh. But yeah, scallops. So now I have to use whatever I have in my house
so confident,
for the scallops.
I was so confident you would just make some elegant little hors d'oeuvre with the scallops in the shell with the roe.
Well, that's the thing. Scallops in the shell with the roe really actually don't need very much. So I would you'd probably use a little bit of that white wine in my refrigerator, go get a bottle from the cellar, and just a little bit of butter, shallot, white wine, and steam them open in the pan. And I mean, they are just lovely that way. I do have lemon verbena, so I might put a little bit of lemon verbena in the pan just to perfume it and then pull it out before I serve it. But I would definitely make that sauce thick enough to nappe the, or to coat. Nappe means to coat the scallops. So I would really probably be basically making a beurre blanc in the pan with the scallops, and that would be a lovely first course, or as you say, you could certainly do it as an hors d'oeuvre. So yeah. Scallops. Took care of all those ingredients now.
Okay.
It's your turn.
Still no, there's no dessert at your house.
No, I don't. I believe in cheese and no dessert.
You believe in really, really, really smelly cheese, apparently.
I'm with some people we know that they typically don't even ask for dessert courses. I'm with that philosophy of just let's put all the calories in the... Oh, and I love cheese. Usually I don't have room left for... Well, maybe Mignardise. I do love macaroons, but you haven't given me any ingredients to make macaroons. So, two or three?
Three.
Three it is. There you go.
It's like the wise owl with the Tootsie Pop, right? Three. Okay, let's see.
It's a good one. That's my favorite menu.
Oh, good. Okay.
It's fun.
Sorrel, that wonderful lemony herb that always sounds like it's depressed. Sorrel. rockfish, great.
Wild local rockfish.
Super duper. Heirloom tomatoes. Can I pick my varieties?
Yes.
it's as a sort of sidebar, super interesting. Every year, the heirloom variety tomatoes come, and they're always different. Like, you know, maybe 15 years ago, it's like, oh, I love German stripers.
Yes.
But maybe 3 years out of the last 15, they were the best variety.
Right.
Like this year, the black Japanese trifles are the best variety.
Yeah, they're gorgeous. Yeah, that's interesting.
And some other things are just not, it's like wine, it's like anything else. Every year, every product is not amazing. Just because you see it doesn't mean it's going to taste perfect every single year. The season's so different. Think about how different the summer weather is every year.
It's very different this year.
So that's
so cool. It's awesome.
There's these amazing sort of like olive-shaped green sort of, I don't know, not really cherry tomatoes because they're not like that size. They're small, small tomatoes. But they're incredibly juicy and
they're
sweet.
They're green.
And we just started getting a little bit of these things, and they're amazing. And I want to make a tomato tart out of these things so badly.
Yeah,
it's
you
not
have
funny.
To get me some of those. I've not seen those.
All right, so lobster, opal basil.
Which we just got locally.
Yeah. No, which is that purple, ruffly looking basil.
Mm-hmm.
La bamba rice, yum. La bamba is that short grain rice from, it's a arboreal rice from Calasparra in Spain.
It makes wonderful risotto.
Yeah.
Or paella.
Or traditional Spanish style stuff. Poblano peppers, also good. Broccoli, it's funny.
Yeah, we did pick some of the same ingredients. That's funny.
It's in the first broccoli won't come for a couple of weeks yet, but it's Vidalia onions, great. Micro celery.
It might be fun to have
silly
a micro
aromatic little garnish, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Chanterelle.
It tastes just
silly.
Exactly like celery. It's amazing.
Chanterelle mushrooms, carrots.
And we're getting great chanterelles right now.
Okay.
So.
You turn me into a vegetarian. No, or a pescatarian here, which is good because I like to do that.
Yeah.
Let's see. So I think, and there's no chance of sweet. The only chance of sweet is if I make that tomato tart, which is almost sort of like a medieval sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
What wine do you serve with a green tomato tart? That's interesting to think about.
Probably one of the very lightly sweet, sparkling white wines of Piemonte, like Moscato, but there are a couple of different versions that are sort of like that. I mean, that's one thing about Italy is they make a million different sparkling wines and different levels of sweetness or alcohol and that sort of thing. So if you're making, what I'd like to do is make that, I have a little duck fat in my kitchen. I'd like to make a short crust, pastry crust with duck fat for those little sweet green heirloom tomatoes and make that. The crust will be both like rich and a little sweet, and maybe even put a little bit of aromatic spices like a clove or something like that in that.
In the dough?
In the dough.
That would be good.
In the dough. That and a little bit of black pepper.
And so it's a sweet tart, but it almost feels like savory cooking.
I have some white peach preserve. So put a little bit of that down underneath the fresh tomatoes, and use a little bit of, I don't have any basil growing outside
because
I live in the forest.
Are you baking the tart with the tomatoes in it?
I would bake the tart.
Going on fresh.
And then put, when the crust was almost done, then brush it with the jam and lay the tomatoes on and then bake it for a few more minutes, just enough to, what you have to do is slice those tomatoes and drain them a little bit or you're going to have really, really... Because you want to have a little bit of crunch to that pastry crust.
Definitely.
And I'm going to wish for basil, but I have none, honestly, in my garden. So, but this would be a slightly sweet. Well, I have the opal basil. But it's just not as sweet.
No, it's not.
It's not as sweet.
Different animal.
That does give us dessert, which is nice. The rice, I mean, the rice wants to be, the rockfish is going to have to be a first course with something, and the lobster is going to have to be a rice dish like a paella. The lobster is going to want to be with the mushrooms and the vidalias, and probably the poblanos, and the carrots in the rice. And so for that kind of a rice, you take a great big paella pan, and you have to get your rice toasted in oil, and with any aromatics you want to be in there, it's good to toast them with that. I would probably
right from the beginning.
I would probably toast one or two of the poblanos in there just to get them to release a little bit of the oil into the oil and flavor that oil. The oil goes in the pan. I always put a little bit of garlic and shallot in that pan, and probably one of those poblanos.
Just don't brown the garlic.
Don't brown the garlic. It's literally you throw it in like right when you. Oil is warm. You throw that stuff in, and just flavor the oil. You're not browning it for a second, and then the rice goes in, and that toasts nicely with those ingredients. And with the lobster, you're gonna have to.
Lobster was in the shell, so you can have stock.
If the lobster is in the shell, it's less that I want stock. I want to cook the lobster in the shell in the rice.
Yeah, that would be great.
You know. And save the tamale for like some of the garnish for it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's so you're gonna break up the lobster depending on the size and the 8-12 pieces, something like that. But with the meat attached to the shell, and you need stock. If you don't have stock, it's honestly water with aromatics that
right. Because with the shell and all that lobster meat, you're gonna get good flavor. So
yeah.
Just add the.
So you get that going.
You have to watch out with poblanos. Sometimes they're spicy, too. So you almost have to taste it after you've started to cook it.
You need, like I said, just want to release a little bit of flavor into the oil. But that you need that stock to, because that rice, if you're using a cup of rice or 2 cups of rice, you need probably about 4.5 times that in water or stock that you're going to add to that. And if you're adding anything that has liquid to it, let's say if you were adding tomato or something like that, which wouldn't be bad to have a little bit of, if you had something like black heirlooms that had really good oil, really good acid, that might be nice to add as a finishing thing for that rice. So it's a rice with all of those ingredients. But the whole point is the technique of you're cooking that rice and the lobster at the same time. And the lobster, I mean, certainly much better if you can toast the shells in that pan, before you ever start adding the stock, and then start adding the stock and it all comes up together. And did I did say the mushrooms? Yeah, I said mushrooms with that. So that leaves us.
The chanterelles.
That should be pretty fun. Yeah, the chanterelles. So that's rockfish with sorrel, most likely.
I wondered if you were going to do that. I think it would be fun to have sorrel. Typically, you think of the classic dish from the Twakwo brothers is the sorrel sauce with salmon.
Here's what I'm thinking is to do the. This almost sounds like it's like a one course buffet sort of a meal, where the paella goes up and maybe it's rockfish, maybe a grilling whole rockfish, because I could easily do on the paella on the stove and grill a whole rockfish and grill the whole rockfish and have it on the have it on the bone and then fillet it out and make almost like a salsa verde with some of the micro celery and the and the opal basil and the sorrel.
Good, fun.
You're probably super aromatic and use a decent amount of shallot.
To be very refreshing.
I have a little bit of pickled garlic, preserved from last year's spring garlic. There might be a little bit of that in there, and maybe a little bit of sherry vinegar.
Yeah.
A couple of drops of that, like sort of sweet, really strong 50-year-old sherry vinegar in that salsa verde. I wish I had citrus. That's the one thing. I usually have some in the house, but I might have to use more more tomatoes again to get a little bit of acid in that dish. Well, I guess the vinegar is
probably
enough.
What citrus would you use? Lime?
It's honestly what I would want is a little bit of lemon juice and also the peel in that in the salsa verde for the fish.
Sounds good.
So you take a little piece of the filet off the bone and you serve it with cold sauce with that, and then you put a little bit of the lobster rice with the pepper and the chanterelle on your plate.
It's gonna be good. I'm starting to get hungry too.
So.
The whole roasted, grilled rockfish. Oh, that's gonna be so good. Yeah, I love the idea of
it's just
moist and amazing coming off the bone. It has so much flavor.
There's a lot of flavor in those
really
things.
I mean, good way to cook.
If you want to eat seafood,
a piece of rock.
There's your menu. If you want to eat seafood and drink Rioja straight through,
yes,
you know that would be. That would be fantastic. So you do a little vertical tasting of Rioja from some great producer like Marques de Morieta, the Igaya bottling, and you have three or four of those. Or honestly, if you don't want to blow your budget out on the wine, but you still want to drink great Rioja, there's a ton of things from the 9 vintage. 2009 is a great Rioja vintage that might be fantastic with the seafood dishes, and especially the really flavorful ones like this would have a hard time to have a lot of whites with those.
Right.
Sounds and even good. Carry into the tomato tart, which is a little little sweet and savory.
Very
so,
good.
So there
good
you go.
Menu. Okay, now we
all
have to do speed round.
Yeah, exactly.
We have
right.
one
this
more
is the
to
speed
do.
Round. This is the thing. This is meant to be the thing on the competitive thing was to do the accelerator. So
right.
The parameters are
now
3 minutes each.
Okay.
You're going to get your sheet. You got 25 minutes to start to finish.
The food.
Come up with it. You don't have to use everything, but you got to come up with two interesting courses.
But I only have 3 minutes to tell everybody what I'm going to do with this food. All right, oh boy.
Let's go. Here's what you got.
Four yellow peppers, two summer cauliflower, six pickling cucumber, fresh wax beans. Oh my God, Tony, you're going to have to type this stuff from now on. Peppermint tarragon and garlic, Israeli couscous. Oh gosh, a side of ivory salmon, 1 pound, oh boy, razor clams. If I could read this, cultural butter. What is that? Cultured butter?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh my, mascarpone, six white nectarines, two lemons, buckwheat flour. I don't like you at all for this one. I have never worked with buckwheat flour in my life. I almost never use Israeli couscous, although I love couscous.
Two courses.
Okay, couscous.
Got about 2 minutes.
Couscous. I'm going to cook the couscous very quickly and serve it with the razor clams. I'm going to open those razor clams in the shell and add them to the couscous and wax beans and cauliflower, for that matter, and the peppers. So that's all going in the couscous. Yellow peppers, not fond of those.
So you're about halfway.
A very simple couscous, and I'm going to finish that with the lemon. Buckwheat flour, honestly.
What are you going to do with the salmon?
Yeah, there we go. Salmon, ivory salmon, which is an amazing product. I'm going to pan roast it, get a nice sear on it in a steel pan that I don't have at home, so I'm going to have to go buy one. and I am definitely cooking it rare. Ivory salmon is a miraculous product. Six pickling cucumbers. So what I'm going to do is I am going to pickle them in a light pickling spice so that they just barely, so that's vinegar. You can buy a prepared pickling spice and
so a little
bit of sugar.
So a little cucumber relish for the salmon?
Yeah, and actually I'm not going to put sugar in there, so it'll just be that pickled cucumber. And so I'm going to move into dessert, and with the nectarines, and they're white, they're so good, I'm going to poach those in a little bit of sweet wine, and I'm going to make a little flour beignet batter out of that buckwheat flour. I'd be curious to see how that works. So beignet batter, and since I've already poached my nectarines, they're going to have this really pretty perfume on top of their natural perfume, and I'm going to make beignet batter and fry them, and then I'm going to serve it with a little bit of just like a quenelle of the mascarpone, which would be really gorgeous.
So
actually,
your menu to recap is the Israeli couscous with the vegetables, the yellow peppers, and the razor clams.
Mm-hmm.
The king salmon seared rare with the lightly pickled cucumbers, and then beignets with mascarpone and white nectarines.
Yes.
And made with buckwheat flour. That
yes.
sounds pretty damn good.
Yeah, that was quick. Okay.
Okay.
We can do that in 25 minutes.
Okay. Yeah, I would.
You have to hustle to get that menu done, but you can get it done.
You get the tart in the oven first.
The fish only takes about, I mean, if you're, you know, with that quick, especially when you're cooking it rare, I mean, you're going to have that fish out in 4 minutes. Okay. All right, your turn, Tony. Here you go.
All right. You have to give me a list.
All right.
All right.
Okay.
Shuffling papers. Corn, zucchini, yellow potato, hanger steak, heads on shrimp, charante melon, peaches, radishes, mustard greens, cucumber, basmati rice, lemon verbena. All right. Well, so we're going to have a hanger steak. Hanger steak, simple, very quick, in super hot pan, lots of black pepper, little garlic in the pan. Once that hanger steak is seared off, when it is cooling down, the mustard greens and corn that you already roasted on the husk is going to go in that pan, pick up a little bit of that fat, a little bit of onion is going to go on, will have gone in there, and you just have that little saute as a side for that steak. So boom, that's over with. Basmati rice, I'm not going to use. The potato I'm not going to use. I'm just going to do a big veggie first course. What am I going to do? I guess the melon. You can eat the melon for dessert because there's melon, there's peaches. Melon, peaches. You can make, now, if I kept cream in the house or a mascarpone in the house or something, you could make a little bit of a mousse. Be nice to make a little mousse for the peaches and the melon, just like fresh and, mm-hmm. and a little bit of syrup. Radishes, I would be eating them like a madman while I was trying to work really fast.
While you were prepping.
heads on shrimp. Heads on shrimp with the zucchini and the cucumber and the corn would also be really fun. I hope there's a lot of corn. I mean, honestly, that's because I have corn on the brain all
shrimp
summer long.
Shrimp and corn is a great combination.
Yeah, I mean, it's really that combination. I would want to grill the zucchini and the cucumber and have that more of the corn roasted on the husk and just a little saute with butter with that. Shrimp in the pan with the heads on, hopefully still in the shells. Peel those guys, chop them fine, just make a saute of those things and serve that. And you have I've just made a very country meal, which is fine.
It works, yeah.
And then fruit for dessert. Yeah, that's a very, like, 90 degrees in August on your shorts mm-hmm. on the porch kind of a...
You can make it pretty quick.
Kind of a lunch. Yeah, and you could definitely get that done in 25 minutes. Just like yours, I think you'd have to work on the dessert first.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, me, it's a couple quick things in pans. You land everything out on the counter.
I'm going to have to try and make beignet batter with buckwheat flour now just to see if it works.
Well.
All right.
Well, thanks for listening to Foreman & Wolf on Food & Wine. Please send us your email questions at foremanwolf@wypr.org. I hope you had enjoyed this program. I think we enjoyed sort of competing and not competing against each other.
That was fun.
But, yeah, a little bit of the chef's thought process on Foreman & Wolf on Food & Wine.